Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome. It is time now for City Matters, right here on K1, the one you trust today in 1400 FM 93.3. And if that wasn't enough, we're just blazing the Osage at 95.1 FM. Howdy, gentlemen. How are we doing today?
Good morning. Good
morning.
I'm trying to figure out how you're not out of breath. That was a lot.
I talk a lot.
he's well suited for it. He's professional.
It's kind of like people that run fast, they run fast often. So people that talk well, they talk well often.
A little brag in here. I just celebrated last month my 46th year of being a broadcaster.
46 years. Wow. 46 years is a long time to do anything.
You must have started when you were like 5 or 3.
Close. 15.
15.
Yeah. Yeah. I was the only guy at the radio station that time that had a chauffeur. My mom had to drive me to work. I was special.
That's it. Yes, you were. And I'm sure they let you know about it.
I still am. What we got going on here?
Aren't we all? Well, you know, it's a beautiful morning. I think we dodged a bit of a bullet last night. Got some rain, but don't appear to have had the wind damage or the flooding that was a possibility with that storm. So we're grateful for that. I called Micah this morning to ask him how bad the flooding was, and he said, not at all. As far as we know, we haven't heard anything.
There you go.
If you have been flooded, let us know.
Yeah, absolutely. If there, if you experienced any flooding, please let us know. We do track all of those things and try to ensure that our drainage system is performing adequately. Nobody can design a drainage system to handle every rainstorm, but we try to design them to handle the majority of the rainstorms. So, yeah, absolutely. If you experienced any flooding last night, please let us know. We had a council meeting last week. I was out of town, so these guys stepped in, and Terry sat in my seat, which is the most. We don't do anything over there, do you?
Well, I had an opportunity to do something and I missed it. So
good.
Swung
and you did my job well.
I didn't even swing. You know, it's not one of swinging and misses. I just sat there.
You watched it go by. Yeah, that's the worst way to strike out. Oh man, that's all right. So. But the council meeting went well. It was uneventful, as most of our council meetings are, and that's kind of the way we like it. Local government is best when it's boring. And so if anybody tells you different, then they don't work in local government. We're at our best when we're boring.
Mm-hmm.
But there were a few things of note that happened on that council agenda, and most of them were things that might not have seemed too extraordinary to the people who were watching, but to the people who'd been involved in it. We know the amount of work that it took to get it to council approval. One of them was a CDBG grant that the council accepted, and this is a very large CDBG grant, so that's a community development block grant. It comes through the federal government, it's passed through the state, and the state sends it to us. And that one in particular is going to have some improvements for 5th Street, this is 5th Street essentially from
Santa Fe to Sunset.
Santa Fe to Sunset. And Micah, we're going to have improvements not just to the road, but we're going to have improvements to the sidewalk, to the lighting. Right. So then.
Yeah, the lion's share of the work is going to be sidewalk. There is going to be some repaving of a portion of the street. There's a concrete portion there between Santa Fe and Virginia that we're going to address. Runs right there in front of the Boys and Girls Club, their new expansion there. But we're going to have sidewalk. We're going to add sidewalk all the way from Santa Fe to Sunset. There's that one. About half block, again, right there, Boys and Girls Club, as part of their development, they had to bring in sidewalk along their frontage. But really, the rest of it, there's no sidewalk for pedestrians, and that's a heavily used corridor for pedestrians, for foot traffic. You know, there's a few nonprofits located through there, and really...
There is. A lot of social services are available in that area.
Right.
Everything from, you know, the Boys and Girls Club is on the south end there. There's Mary Martha on the north end.
Got Agape in there.
Agape Mission. You got the Westside Community Center. Right. And I think there's...
Seems like there's one more, and I'm probably missing
it. Is it employability along there as well?
Yep, there you go.
And I know there's some other things as well, so... a lot of services available, a lot of social services, and that street will be looking to improve the safety for the pedestrians. Right. We're also going to improve the lighting so that...
And we'll work with PSO on that. They're a good partner with us on that stuff, on the lighting. And so really we've got lighting somewhat at the intersections currently, but we'll look more at some mid-block lighting, things of that nature to try to supplement. So
It's a good project, and again, that's another one that's been a long time coming. We've had conversations about this for years. needing improvements there, and we're grateful for the CDBG grant that allowed us to do that. I think that grant, is it a 50-50?
It is. It's a 50-50 match.
So we'll have to match that, so it'll end up being almost $500,000 project.
Yeah, when it's all said and done.
Once everything is said and done, but it allowed us to leverage our funds very well. So we're excited about that one, excited to get it off the ground. That same night, we also approved, and I think this one was actually done on the consent agenda, so most people probably it completely passed by their attention, but we acquired the right to some property north of Bartlesville. This is for our wastewater reuse project, and I think this is probably the final piece, Terry, other than we still have some work to do on the railroad, but I think that we're now ready to begin construction, and I think you've got a target date for that.
Well, we do. That was the last big piece that was left for the pipeline portion of that project, so we will be out for bids here probably by the end of the month. We're targeting a council award for the construction contract in December, and then construction actually beginning on at least the pipeline and pump station from the wastewater treatment plant portion of it, probably starting early next year, February, March, kind of depending on the availability of materials and how quickly they can get materials on site. But we've already started work on the Caney River pump station. So this is our raw water pump station located next to Kitty Park. So if you've been out walking the trail or in Johnstone Park, you've noticed some containers, some work ongoing there. So that's part of that project as well. And that's to renovate the raw water pump station to improve its pumping capacity and to update the electrical system as well as the exterior of the building to as part of that overall project.
And that pump station, it's interesting because I think most people don't realize what it is. Now, granted, we've made some improvements in that area, and it's probably more obvious now than it used to be with some of the removal of the trees and things of that nature, but that is the original water supply for the city of Bartlesville. Actually, I think it was called the Bartlesville Water Company at the time or something of that nature.
Yeah, it has roots back in the 30s when we started treating and distributing water
pretty cool
to our citizens. So
still there, still in use.
Yeah, still in use. The pump station itself was redone in the late 70s. But it's been really an integral part of our water supply chain and will continue to be so really for forever, really.
Yep, that is a huge part of our water future. In fact, as you said, this is where we will, so the wastewater reuse pipeline will actually empty into the river upstream of that, and then that's where we'll take the water out. So where we started in the 30s is now an integral part, and in a very different manner, I think, than what most people would have anticipated in 1930.
But, yes.
But we're excited to have that underway. It's been a long time. Probably a little extreme to say it's a dream of yours, but it certainly this vision started with you and with some of the changes to the regulations at ODEQ. I'm happy that we're here, and I appreciate your perseverance during this, and that we are now finally going to be able to kick this thing off.
It's good for Bartlesville. So it's kind of like Notre Dame, you know, play like a champion today. You have that little banner type of thing
every day.
I'm not really sure what the correlation is for water reuse,
but
we'll think of one here, hopefully. Yeah.
So. You'll have some time. Don't worry, you'll be back on. You work through that. See if you can figure that out.
That's right. Engineer like a champion today, right?
All right. Well, the council all, and on that note, we're going to transfer back to me here. Thanks for setting me up so well. That was an easy segue. Thanks, Terry. Appreciate that. Well, and the council also recognized our code enforcement officers. And in fact, this week, starting today, is Code Enforcement Officers Appreciation Week. Code enforcement officers, I would say, are very much underappreciated people, but they are absolutely critical to have in a city and for the health and the safety of our neighborhoods. So I wanted to take just a moment to thank all of them. We actually have five people who work as code enforcement officers. The supervisor, Mike Wickham. We have code enforcement officers, Michael Lopez, Billy Hall, Ike Amaro, and Trevor Bay. So we appreciate all of those guys and the work that they do for our community. And I'm grateful that the council was able to recognize them in that manner. A couple of upcoming things, yard debris. This is always a popular topic. It's still a little ways out there. You got time. But we just want to make sure everybody is aware that'll be set for December 6th through 10th, and we will certainly talk about it again as we get closer. But I know as the season kind of wraps up, people are ready to start trimming on trees and cleaning up their yards. Then give us just a little while. We'll be around December 6th through 10th. Yep, I know everybody's looking forward to that. I just wish the grass would stop growing. That's all I want.
Oh, there you go.
This rain helped out a lot.
Yeah, I'm sure it did. I am ready for the grass to stop growing. Wanted to take just a moment and talk about committees. So the city of Bartlesville obviously we're a municipal corporation, and we rely a lot on volunteer activity that allows us to get our citizens involved. It allows the citizens to have a voice in their government. And it all starts with these committees, and we have a lot of committees, and we have a lot of volunteers. We probably, I believe the last count, we had maybe 350 volunteer positions at the city of Bartlesville. So we're grateful to our volunteers. However, we are always looking for more. So just really quickly, we have some openings right now. There's one opening on the Board of Adjustment, one opening on the Bartlesville Convention and Visitors Board, two openings on the Ambulance Commission, one opening on the Construction and Fire Code of Appeals Board, and one opening on the White Rose Cemetery Board. And if you are interested in that, then you can go to the City of Bartlesville, just cityofbartlesville.org, and fill out an application, and you check whatever committees you're interested in. Even if they don't have an opening, feel free to go out and apply and check those boxes, because we'll keep that on file for a year. And anytime there is an opening, then we pull all of these applications. And again, we love our volunteers. We certainly need them. They're a huge part of what we do. We also have some job openings, and so for anybody who is interested, the city of Bartlesville, I'm biased, but the city of Bartlesville is a great place to work. We have a great atmosphere, we're a great team, we have great benefits, and we are paid very well as far as municipal employers go. We are right there in with peers. In fact, we pay above that of our peers. So if you're interested, we have a position for senior administrative assistant. We've got a utility equipment operator, a construction crew leader. We need some sanitation collectors. We need some maintenance workers for our parks. We're looking for a senior librarian. And there's also an assistant ESL for literacy at the library. It's a part-time position. We need a maintenance worker in the street department as well, and then water distribution utility maintenance worker for a water utility. So a lot of positions for just about anybody who's interested. So if you are interested, again, that's cityofbartlesville.org. You can submit your application online. I'd say our volunteers are second only to our employees in the importance of what we do. We are a service organization. We provide services to the citizens of Bartlesville and can't do that without our employees. And we have some great ones, and we're certainly looking to add to our team. So if you're interested, cityofbartlesville.org. And as far as opportunities for citizens to get involved, just wanted to give a quick update with the budget the council approved. Honestly, the first strategic plan that we have ever done with the city of Bartlesville in my time. I'm sure in Terry's time, you've been here a couple years longer than me. I talked to Lisa in the time she's been here. She's never done one either. So this is important. I believe it's important for the future of our community to be looking forward instead of just looking day to day. And this will be an opportunity. There'll be citizen input, and there'll be some committees and things of that nature. So be on the lookout for that. We're getting ready to send out that RFP, and we'll have that out there as soon as we can. But we'll work through that diligently. All right, Terry, have you thought of a way to tie in these things? Your play like a champion, engineer like a champion, or you're back up now?
Oh, I didn't know I had to come up with another piece of that.
Well, you said you were going to tie it together.
I've lost track of it. So about that Texas? If you're a Texas fan, you're probably not so.
I just like to point out that I believe in the entire time that I've known him, I've seen Terry speechless twice. That was one of them.
Well, I was getting going. I was warming into it.
You were stuttering like Bugs Bunny. I don't know where you're going with that.
Elmer
you
Fudd.
Were spinning your wheel. Yeah, yeah. Elmer Fudd, sorry, not yeah. Bugs Bunny. Yep. So, Terry, did you have anything else you wanted to discuss other than the wastewater reuse line? Or?
Well, we were going to start on some smoke testing, so it's a wastewater component, but part of our kind of our toolbox that we use for doing preventative maintenance on our wastewater system is conducting various studies, and one of those types of studies is a smoke test. So we were going to start this week, but with the rain, that somewhat inhibits that activity. But that will probably start next week. But we are looking to start conducting smoke testing in what we call the Nebraska and the Maple subbasin. So these will be in areas kind of on the northeast side of town, around Nebraska, Fenway, up kind of in that northeast quadrant of town. And then in the Maple area, this is going to be around the Jane Phillips School, really everywhere west of Santa Fe and south of 14th Street. But we will be posting flyers and notifications to the residents in the area when we do get around to conducting the smoke test. But this is going to be a tool that we use to identify defects in the wastewater collection system as well as in private service lines that connect to that system, really with the goal is to eliminate all the inflow and infiltration into that system. So our system is not a dual, or what they call a dual system, is only designed to carry wastewater flows. Stormwater infiltration does kind of play havoc with us in that it overwhelms the capacity of that system, creates backups and some bad things that result from it. So we do this really kind of on an ongoing basis, but this is our time for these two areas to go in there, see what defects exist, and then we'll start moving forward with capital improvements to correct those defects or notifying residents that they have some defects on their lines that they need to correct.
And those defects could be everything from broken service lines to broken main collection lines from the city.
Yeah.
Sometimes we'll find that old houses, they had their drainage systems actually piped into the sewer, and so these smoke tests will help identify all of those things. So citizens, if there is a smoke testing going on in their area, what should they expect to see? Basically, people, what company will we use so that they can recognize it?
Well, we're using city staff in conjunction with certified sewer inspection, so CSI. Not that kind of CSI, but it's a
not
certified.
Quite that cool.
Yeah, it's the sewer.
Still pretty cool.
It's the sewer side of CSI, but they're a local company that will be helping us, but you'll see probably about 10 guys running around with flags and iPads, and you'll see smoke kind of billowing all over the place and out of houses. So
it'll come out of the roof vents on the houses. It may come out of the middle of yards.
Yeah,
it'd come out of storm drains.
Yeah, so we try to limit this to about 3 or 4 blocks at a time. Again, we will notify residents of when we're doing that, so if they see smoke coming out of their house or something to that effect, they don't think it's a fire. We do notify.
We work with dispatch
the
as well.
Dispatch, yep. And fire as well on what we're doing, so that there's not any false alarms that go through there. But it was going to start this week. It's going to start next week. We are going to be in the Maple. That'll take us about 2 weeks to do that Maple subbasin, which is south of 14th, west of Santa Fe. Once we finish with that, then we'll move up into the Nebraska area to do the smoke testing through there.
All right, appreciate that, Terry. Thank you, and thank you once again for that Notre Dame remark that we're all still puzzling over right now.
Oh, you guys, that's a tender spot. With
Notre Dame. The origination came from Oklahoma.
Wasn't there more to the saying than just play like a champion today? Wasn't there something about tomorrow?
And tomorrow? No, yeah, they just decided to focus on today.
Just today?
Just
okay.
Today.
That's as fast as I could read the sign when they show it.
Right, I got you. When you're watching Rudy.
Where's Dan Kelleher when you need him? He's the only person I know that actually.
He would know.
Yeah, he would know.
He would know.
Yeah,
we're going to have tied it all together.
We'll have to, if Dan, if you're listening, call in and let us know what's going on with that.
Texas, yeah.
All right, Micah Seemers, our city engineer. What do we got going on, Micah? Lots.
Well, yeah, there's always lots going on. Lots going on in the background if you can't see it in the foreground. So,
yep.
Yeah, so currently I think I'm here to really talk about Sooner Pool expansion. I think that was the main
also thing was done at the council meeting,
right?
Last week.
That was awarded at the council meeting last week. And essentially we've got about $2.8 million for this project. And the bids came in a little bit higher than we would have liked. This is actually a rebid. We bid this all back in the earlier summer, late spring, early summer, and the project was about $462,000.
A little over.
Over, over budget. So basically,
we only had a single bidder at that point.
We did. We only had one bidder, and so we felt it was prudent to reject that sole bid. We felt like we really just didn't have interest in the project, and that was why the bid was so high. You know, in revisiting with the consultant at the time, you know, they felt like their numbers were pretty solid, and we should have been within budget. And so we were tasked with going back to the drawing board and, you know, looking for low-hanging fruit that we could either remove from the project or peel them out as alternates in case the bids came in lower that we could possibly afford to add them to the contract as well, but kind of a cafeteria plan. If you bid things as an alternate, you can select things and just award portions of it and not the full scope. And so we re-looked at that. We just wanted to make sure we clarified some things in the construction documents as well, just make sure that everybody understood, the bidders understood what they were actually bidding. And so, you know, we had a conversation with the one contractor that did bid the project just to see if there were any red flags that they saw or anything. And really there weren't. You know, really what it boiled down to, in our opinion, was we just had one bidder interested. They knew they were the one bidder that was interested. So they kind of set the price where they wanted to set the price. And it turns out that wasn't exactly the case. It was somewhat, because they were higher. I think we still ended up saving about $110,000 by going this route. But you know, it turns out actually just because of material prices and just the climate that we're in right now, it's just a little bit higher than we expected.
Everybody's busy now.
Everybody's busy. Everybody's got work. Hard to find workers for the work that they do have to do. And so they're passing that on down to the end user. So that being said, we did award the project, awarded to Magnum Construction out of Broken Arrow. We've worked with them before on projects before. Part of the deal on this is they were actually not the low bidder. The low bidder and the third low bidder, both of them used a pool contractor who was not a pre-approved contractor. Right. We did specify in the documents that it had to be a pre-approved pool contractor. Whether it was whether that pool contractor was the GC, the general contractor over the whole thing, or if it was just a subcontractor of a GC.
And of course, to become a pre-approved contractor, it's just really a matter of contacting us
Contact us prior to submitting a bid, right. We had specified in there it had to be 10 days before the bid, but quite honestly, had they got in there a few days before the bid, we would have reviewed it and most likely gone through that process. And assuming that they were qualified, we want to check and make sure they're qualified. And that really is the point of doing that. This is a specialized project for us. You know, a swimming pool isn't something you do every day.
Nope.
And now there's contractors that do it every day, and we want to work with those guys.
That's the guys we want out there working on our pools.
That's what we're trying to do, and so we want to vet that out. And so long story short, the subcontractor that both Blackhawk and AC Owen used was not on that pre-approved list. They didn't get the information to us before the bid. And quite honestly, at that point, it's not fair to award to someone like that who didn't follow the process. Than to go with people who did.
We reject bids all the time because of technical aspects. In fact, if you're 1 minute late turning in a bid, then you get rejected.
Yeah, so. and it gets awkward at times, especially like you're in that situation you're talking about there, that gets real. It's like, well, whose clock is right, you know? But you're right. So we do reject bids for those reasons. And so anyway, we awarded to Magnum Construction. They're using Sunbelt Pools out of Austin, Texas, and they've done work with this group before. And we've worked with Magnum before, so that gives us a little bit of a level of comfort as well. And so anyway, long story short, we awarded them for their base bid was $2,882,000. We had $2,750,000 really for that base bid work. And then we did go ahead and award an alternate for a parking lot. So the existing parking lot, if you're familiar with it, it's, you know, it's kind of asphalt. It's
sort of developed over time.
There's some that's fully gravel. There's some that's kind of asphalt that's more like gravel now. And we had actually two alternates for parking lot. And so on the original bid, we actually had one large parking lot that would cover really the gravel area and the asphalt area now. And obviously that came in way high as well. So we split that into two parking lots, one for the main, what's in the asphalt area now, give or take, and one for that gravel area so that we could, again, seeing how much money we had and where the bids came in, we could piece that together somewhat. So we did award the larger parking lot, and we're going to be using funds for that we have through actually the general obligation bond that was approved in 2020.
We had a bunch of parks,
right,
streets and parking lots and things of that nature, the improvements that are coming up anyway.
Right, and so since we're going to be doing that anyway, we're in the area working, we figure it would get more bang for our buck if we lump that all together. So we are going to use those funds. It'll be available in December. We have enough money on the front end and sales tax funds to cover that for the contract itself, but the actual funding will be coming around later in December to do that work. So I know as part of the award, the council had discussed that, you know, because the way we peeled this out with alternates and whatnot, what we awarded was two slides. So we're going to do two large water slides.
We had hoped to do three with the original design.
With the original design, exactly. And so we peeled one of them out as an alternate, again, not knowing where this would fall. And we feel like while we probably could cover it with some savings we've had, and the way sales tax is doing right now, we'd like to see how that shakes out a little bit better, because we are still really early in the fiscal year, and just make sure that that's going to maintain traction throughout the year. And so we do have the option of awarding that at a later date. And, Councilman Curd had really wanted to point that out, that we would like to see about having that third slide added at some point. We'll see how that shakes out. Not sure if that's the case. But right now we're going to get two large slides. These are going to be 45-foot tall slides. Right now at Frontier, those are around 20 to 25 feet, so just almost double in height. One of them is going to be more of a speed slide, kind of like the Silver Bullet used to be there in Tulsa. Now, it's not quite as high as the Silver Bullet. Let's be honest. It's not quite that big.
Still pretty awesome.
Yeah, something to attract teenagers and whatnot, get a little bit of interest in it. And then we'll have some group shelters, the YMCA, and the pools really had a desire for more group space, if you will, so they could, you know, run it out for parties and for families and whatnot. So we got three group shelters going in for this as well, and then just added deck space. The concrete deck space is always, you know, you think of a pool as the pool being the attraction, but lots of times just sitting around hanging out is the attraction. So going to have a lot of added deck space and some mechanical equipment and things of that nature. So should be a good project.
Be a great addition to that pool.
Yeah.
And honestly, the first phase of what we hope will be.
Correct.
You know, two or three phase project.
Yeah.
And ultimately result in Sooner Pool being much more than it is now.
Right.
And being more of an attraction for those teenagers.
Right. And, you know, we just had Leadership Bartlesville last week, the local government day, and we reminded those people as well, because we kind of went through this sort of process of selecting what components to do for the budget and whatnot. And we went through the process and, you know, really told them, that, hey, look, if you want another phase of this, get out there, tell your council members, get the word out. It really starts at the public, you know, at the ground level with the public input. And so, you know, if this phase goes well, if you guys want to see additional phases with more slides, possible lazy river, things of that nature, get out there in front of your council members and request it. So
make sure you let your voices be heard if that's something that you're interested in.
For sure.
All right. Well, I appreciate that, Micah, and I do look forward to that. When can we expect that project to start?
Most likely be first quarter next year should start. Okay. And then again, it's going to be kind of like Terry's. It's going to be dependent upon availability materials and whatnot. Supply,
yeah. So. If we put too tight of a window on these things, then we find that they get really expensive. So.
Right.
All right. Well, I appreciate that, Micah. Sure. Thank you. We look forward to getting that started. And we've got our closer here. We went from football to baseball. Had the starter, the relievers, and got our closer. So,
that's right.
Jason, take us out of here with a little bit of sales tax news.
Well, we got about 2 minutes
sales
here.
Sales tax for the win.
We can stretch this out real long. Sales tax performing great. We're up 19.3% this month over prior October's collection. Puts us at 13% up on the year, which equates to about $860,000 over prior year's collection. And we're sitting, you know, roughly 14% above budget anticipation. You know, $902,000 in that aspect. So, good place to be, and we'll just keep riding it. You know, as long as it lasts. Eventually, we're going to be comparing back to these high numbers, and that's where it'll start getting interesting.
Yeah.
So, might level out,
my boy. Level out probably rescind a little bit.
We'll. Leveling out is fine. We just don't want to go backwards. And of course, we can't truly predict the future.
No.
We try. We try our best. We're usually wrong. In this case, we were wrong in a direction that we like to be wrong.
Yeah, which is always.
We were more conservative than what.
Try to stay conservative.
But I don't think anyone could have predicted these kind of results.
No.
We're not sure how long they'll last. I know there's a lot of cash out there that was provided through the federal government. So we'll see. We'll see how long this lasts.
I'm eager to see how long we can carry this through.
Yep.
And what it rescinds back to once normal spending habits return. So.
Yeah, and we are highly dependent on sales tax, so we will, as always, be watching this very carefully and looking for any signs of change.
But we'll
certainly take the welcome good.
Take it while we can get it.
Yeah, what was the period for which this money was received?
This would have been, so our collection was in October. This would have been for August, mainly August, a little bit early September.
Yep. Okay.
So.
So we certainly appreciate the citizens of Bartlesville for spending their money locally. It makes a big difference, not just for us, but also for our local vendors and your friends and neighbors and business community.
All right, thank you very much. That is our City Managers Program for today, right here on K1, the one you trust.
American Heritage Bank, now serving the Osage region of Bartlesville, Pawhuska, and Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville, K227 CQ Bartlesville, K236 CT Pawhuska.